I'm Sally Hamburg from InSource, and I'm here today with Dr. Teresa Grassi, who's the director of the Center on Community Living and Careers at the Indiana Institute on Disability and Community at Indiana University. We're going to be talking about what's involved in planning for the transition of students from high school to adult life. Thanks so much, Teresa, for your willingness to join us to share your expertise on these issues.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Now, in planning for the high school years and thereafter, what should families and students with special needs be considering?
You know, I don't think in many ways, it's the same type of questions that you ask all kids, kids with and without disabilities, but knowing that there's going to be some additional planning and supports that are going to be needing for students with disabilities. So, you know, what will their child be doing after high school? What does that look like? Will they be going on to college? Do they see them doing some additional type of training? If they're going to go right into the workforce, then what type of work are they thinking about? What does that setting look like? How are they going to get around? Transportation is always a huge area that needs to be addressed regardless of where you live. And speaking of living, it's where is this person going to live? And, you know, right now we're seeing more and more young adults remaining with their families longer, but how are they starting to prepare for that home of their own, whether it be an apartment or a house? And then what are some other additional types of supports will the student may need to be successful in a college setting or a community college setting or in a work setting? So how do we start planning for that time, but also making sure the connections and services are there?
Well, that's certainly an awful lot of things to be considering. So when do you think families should begin to plan for the years after high school?
You know, there's a saying that it's never too late, it's never too early, and, you know, the earlier the better. And we talk a lot about that when a child enters elementary school and kindergarten, we really need to start keep an eye on what's going to happen afterwards. Regardless of when you really do start, it is required by law that in Indiana, the law is that by the age of 14, or ninth grade, whichever comes first, that a transition IEP will be in place so that really we could start planning for what life will look like afterwards.
So is that why you think it's so important to start thinking about these things before the student enters high school?
Absolutely, because I think the hardest part for both the student and the family is they go from a system of passing classes to they enter into the high school world where it is about earning credits. And those credits are critical for diplomas. And so it's very important that they start thinking about what do those high school years really going to need to look like and how do you prepare for what's going to happen the day after graduation.
Okay. Speaking of the day after graduation, are there agencies that are responsible for providing services to these young folks when they leave high school?
Responsible, boy, I think that's the operative word. I think the one of the most overwhelming aspects as students and families, and even for educators, as they are preparing for students to leave school, that families leave a world which is based on entitlement, that free and appropriate public education, that they're entitled to certain services through special education and through education. But they enter into the adult service world that is really based on eligibility and that they have to be eligible for a number of different services. And some of these services have waiting lists. So when you went back to that question earlier, when should I start planning? We are really encouraging families to look for certain services at that elementary level because of the waiting list. But there are services such as vocational rehabilitation that their ultimate goal is help support the student to go into the workforce, whether it's straight into the workforce or go through training or college setting. But there's other services such as mental health services, the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities, Medicaid waiver. All these services take a look at both where this person will be living, learning, and working.
Well, that's a lot of information. Now, what kind of information can parents share that will help to plan for the student's high school experience?
You know, we always say the family does know their child the best. And so one of the things that I would always encourage families to look at is, what I want to know is, in all due respect, I don't worry about what that label is. I want to know who their child is. You know, what are their strengths? What gets them excited? What do they hope for? What do they dream for? But also, what are their support needs? You know, what is it that if they're going to be successful, what will it take? As well as those things of, what do they like to do for fun? What are their interests? Where do they like to spend their time? All these little pieces of information starts developing a student profile. So the ultimate is that you make that good match, whether it's for college or whether it's be for employment and other environments. How do you make that good student environmental match?
Well, it sounds like parents have a significant role here. Now, what can parents expect of the school as they plan for the high school experience?
I think the number one thing is to remember that they are part of that IEP team and that schools don't have all the answers. And they may not have all the answers. And so a lot of times they're going to have to work very closely together and to really start developing those experiences for the student. However, I mean, we do know that through our Indiana Special Ed Law Article 7, there are requirements they have to meet, certain courses and experiences. But I think the key piece is to partner with the schools to say, how does this look best for my son or daughter and meet their needs?
That's good to know that there's a team involved in doing this. Now, what if, you know, we know that there are a lot of students who have significant disabilities. What if that is the case for a given student and that student may be in a life skills program?
You know, my number one thing that I say to all teachers and especially all family members is to have high expectations. Because if you don't raise those expectations, what we know of is that when we raise the expectations, 9 out of 10 times the student reaches them. And to take some risks into trying some new things so that we can learn more about that student, going back to that profile, but trying those expectations. It's real important that for me is that a student gets to balance their high school experience with some community-based life, real community-based kind of experiences. And so I always view it as that we want to make sure they're part of that high school and they get to have those typical experience like other students, but also slowly as they get closer to that day they're leaving, that they spend more of their time in a community-based setting where that becomes that classroom. So it really is important to think about, how does the last day of school look like the day after? And how do we ensure that those connections are there, those supports are there? But most importantly is that how do you develop a meaningful day, which for most people, most of that day is work. So raising those expectations around work experiences.
Well, that's certainly a lot to think about. Now, what advice might you give to parents to help them to plan for their sons and daughters as they plan for life after high school?
Yeah, one of the things that I think it goes back to, how do you raise some of those expectations and how do you look at the possibilities and learn about the possibilities to develop a vision for what that life would look like? And so for some families, I think they come in with a very strong vision. Others sometimes have to see it to almost believe it. And so I would encourage families to talk to other students and family members who are working in a competitive job, who went on to college, whether it be a 2 or 4 year vocational training, to understand some of the requirements, but also those understanding of those expectations. And I would have high expectations for all students, regardless of the severity of their disabilities. So that is, I think, a real important point, that they learn about the possibilities and develop a vision for their son or daughter. The second is that this is the time that becomes very difficult for many families where they are starting having to back off a little bit, regardless if you have a child with a disability or not, but that student starts to become more independent. And so you really want to encourage the student to be more active in the transition process, including their IEP, having a voice in what they like and they don't like, and helping them set their own goals. And the most important aspect is really teaching self-determination skills, where students start working on problem solving and goal setting and a self-awareness about their disabilities, and maybe not the, you know, so much the specific disability, but what are their strengths and what are those areas they know they're going to need support with. So again, understanding who they are as an individual.
Good. Knowing themselves, in other words. So the students are actually a part of that team who plan for this transition.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's what we always learn is that there are many times where the student has insight on why things are working and why things aren't working. When students, you know, we often forget to ask the students why are they struggling in certain classes and how they could be part of that solution. So again, we're teaching self-determination, problem-solving skills, but making sure they take ownership in that solution. So, right, the more we can involve students, the better, because the time is going to come where the parents aren't going to be with the student all the time, and the students are going to have their own voice. I think a simple example here is those students who need specific accommodations. Do they understand what their accommodations are, and can they communicate them to a general ed teacher? Can a student with significant disabilities share their wants and needs, or what they like and don't like, whether it's sharing it verbally or sharing it through behavior? Are we able to tell the difference there?
You know, what an important point on which to conclude this, too. That makes so much sense, and it's so important. Teresa, thanks so much for providing this information, and thanks also for agreeing to record another podcast with us on the subject of transition, that one focusing primarily on the transition IEP. This one had more to do with the generalized planning for that transition, and the next one will get into more specifics. So we look forward to that discussion. But in the meantime, Teresa, do you have some other suggestions of places that families can go where they can find additional information or assistance?
Well, I think the number one is you all. I would really highly encourage families to connect with other families, members, and the best way to do that, I believe, is through the InSource organization. And so they obviously can get on the website of www.insource.org. You all have a wealth of information for both families and educators. And we also are continuing to provide some information for educators and families. And I think that's why our partnership is so good, is that if you go to www.indiana.edu/CCLC, you will find a number of information around not only secondary transition services, but around employment services and benefits, Social Security benefits planning, and some community living aspects that families could get further information to take a look at the big picture.
Well, that's great, Teresa. And both of those websites, I know, have links to other sources of information. So there is an awful lot of information out there. But this is a wonderful start, and I can't thank you enough.
You are so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.